Pastor Brad, it's so wonderful to be with you guys. You guys have such a hard-working power couple that really love you guys, serve you, have served our district, have served on multiple boards, have probably done a lot of cleanup work that you don't see, janitorial ministry cleanup work, I'd call it. So Pastor Brad and Rhonda, my hat's off to you guys as well. I'm really deeply honored to be here with some and to share the time that I know Pastor Brad loves to share and Pastor Rhonda as well in the pulpit. And so I'm honored that you'd give up a Sunday to allow us to come and share with you guys. I really am. They're wonderful people, wonderful servants. They love you guys, and I know that it's not just talk. It's walking it out, and they love our district as well. So we're grateful for them. We're grateful to be here with you guys. Allison's here somewhere wrangling children and babies. We have two under two, and then two above two, one's six and five. So there we go. You kind of, they just all blend together at that age. You're like, I just have young kids, and they're young, right? And it's difficult to keep up. Can't even remember my own birthday or anything anymore. But it's a blessing to be here with you guys. I've known Pastor Brad and Rhonda for a long time. I've been serving in our district as well. And so you guys have been on our team for a long time. We're grateful. I'm going to share more after the service how you guys have been a part and been on our team. And so we're just grateful to have that connection and to be a part of what you guys are doing here. And we're grateful for you guys as well. So how many of you have been challenged with 2020? You're like, is 2021? Who's putting up the Christmas lights, right? You're like, let's move on. You're thinking about, I saw two turkeys on the side of the road today. I'm like, Thanksgiving dinner. You're like, let's skip Halloween. There's enough scary stuff. Let's get on to Thanksgiving. And there's, along with, I think, difficulties, pandemics, politics, all mixed into one major year, it can be a little bit cluttering. Our lives can just be cluttered with stuff. You get on social media and you have all kinds of opinions and thoughts, and you're working through this, and it's just filling up our brains. Mask on, mask off, who are we going to vote for? All of these different types of things are happening currently in our society, right? Not to mention, on top of that, the things that are happening in our schools, if you have young kids or grandbabies, what's already happened or has happened in the past with your family situation, dynamics. So all of this is like adding together, and our thoughts just can get clouded. Things can get cluttered. Our house can be just packed with stuff up in our mind. I know it has been for us. I know it's just difficult to work through, and you have even at a family dynamic and relatives, you have different thoughts and opinions on masks and situations and politics. But this morning, I just want to bring us back to where the Lord is and what the Lord would want us to focus on and to hone in on despite all of that, because there's greater and grander things going on in His kingdom that can easily get clouded out. If you've had young babies in your house, at some point, you know when they start screaming, it's just hard to think. And this year has been like two young children, three, four, five, a whole house of screaming young children, and you can't think. How many of you have been there? But we just wanted this morning just clear away some of the clutter and the noise and refocus. And I think one of the ways for the body of Christ to refocus, so to speak, is to come in contact again with God's word and God's heart for the world around us and beyond us. And how do we hope to accomplish that this morning? Is to try to answer the question this morning of why missions? Why do we do what we do in missions? When we talk about missions, when we talk about the Great Commission, going to all the world, preaching the good news of the gospel, whether it's to our neighbor 2 miles away or someone that's 2 days away on a plane, why do we do that? Why do we send people to the ends of the earth? Why do we pray for the lost to come to know Jesus around the globe? Why is it important to participate in giving to missions at our local church? Why do we send people out? Why do we participate in communities and get to know our neighbors? Why do we look beyond what a person says and stands for to do our best to minister to them no matter what? Why do we do that? Well, I think the best way to begin answering that is to look in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. This was Abram's life. And I'll read it here. If you want to turn there, that's great. Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, your father's household, to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. And you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples of the earth on earth will be blessed through you." All the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. The life and testimony of Abraham was not confined to a specific age, era, demographic, or people group. His life with Sarah and obedience and belief in God brought a people into the world that would grow and multiply and be a blessing to all peoples. He didn't tell Abraham, "You know, you and Sarah go. I'm going to bless you two. I'm going to bless only your family. And after you pass, the blessing's over. It's off." He said, "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the nations beyond you." And what an amazing thing that God was going to take a barren woman and a man, and he was going to ask them to leave their country and to go be a blessing. Leaving comfort and all behind to go be a blessing to the nations. Look up to the stars, Abraham. Right. Count them. Right. Numerous. Numerous beyond. Even today, we don't even know what is out there. It's amazing. We have some of the most powerful telescopes that we've ever had in the world, and we still can't count. We still can't grasp the gravity of what God can do and who God is. We clearly see God's passion emerging for all peoples of the earth right out of Genesis. But does it stop there? No. We see in Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 16, 5:24, I won't read it all, but it's David's song before he ministers before the ark and when it was brought to Jerusalem. So we see this ark was a special thing to the people of God, right? And he begins to sing this song. And he begins to rejoice before the Lord, and he begins to recount what God is doing. And here we could say, wow, David is establishing his kingdom. He's getting the blessing. Shouldn't he just, I mean, if it was me, I might be thinking about myself. But no, what does he say at the end of the song? "Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deed among all peoples." He recounts the story of how God blessed Abraham in his song, and he's just thinking about what God has done already and how he has made him into a king and how now the ark is coming into the city and it's going to get a resting place. Before it was with Obed-Edom. And God, he just saw the blessing on Obed-Edom. He's like, let's bring that thing to Jerusalem. But it wasn't just stopping for he and his family or the Israelites. No, it was for all peoples, and he recognizes this. The psalmist, Psalm 67, one of my favorite psalms in the entire Bible. I'm a little bit biased, but I love this psalm. It says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth. Your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples with equity and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, God. May all the peoples praise you. The land that yields its harvest, God, our God, blesses us. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him." There's nothing left out in that. Amen. Early on in the Old Testament, we see God's heart and passion emerge for all peoples. David reminds us in this and declares it. Even when the people are in their own land and he is uniting the northern and southern kingdoms, These were high times for Israel, but they didn't forget God's promise for Abraham to bless the nations and that they were part of that promise. Later on in Isaiah, even after David's reign, his kingdom has been split, chaos has ensued. We see in Isaiah 49, verse 6, "Is it a too small thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those Israel I have kept? I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." Is there any place that is left out through the scripture? Even in a peripheral reading through the scriptures, we see God's heartbeat and passion for all nations. There comes the reminder, God establishes plan through Abraham, continuously reminds us what his passion is for. Continuing on to the New Testament, even find in Galatians 3, verse 7 and 9. "Understand then, those who have faith are children of Abraham." There's that promise. "Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So those who rely on faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So we see that coming together. In 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but to everyone come to repentance." Everyone, all, no one is left out. Revelation 5:9-10, "And they sang a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to serve our God. They will reign on the earth." And lastly, Revelation 7:9. "After this I looked, and before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne, before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands." Every tribe, tongue, and nation. No one is left out. Many times when we talk about missions, we think of the Great Commission in Matthew, verses 28:18-20, and I'll read it here in case you've never read it before or never saw it or have never heard about us talk about it in the church. "All authority has been given to me," this is Jesus speaking, "in heaven and earth." He's speaking to his disciples here. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the ends of age." And of course, we usually tie that in to Acts 1:8, where he says Jesus is speaking to the disciples again, giving them one of his last kind of sermons, so to speak, or last mandates. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Later on, after the sermon today, we'll be talking about the ends of the earth with you a little bit more. But even if you read the entire Bible without those four verses, Matthew 28:18-20, and Acts 1:8, without even those, if you took those four verses out of Scripture, you would still come to the conclusion that God's passion is for all nations. There's nothing left out. There's nothing, no people group that is left undone. No, nothing that we could find that it's just for me and my family, or me and my people group, or me and my tribe. There's an old hymn that just it just kind of bothered me. I don't know if you've ever sung it in here, and I apologize if you have, but this was old school. This was down in the South, old school AG church. It And it just focused on if me and my family get in. And I was preaching that day, and I was just like burning up. I'm like thinking, if just me and my family can get in, I don't even know. It was something along those lines of lyrics. And I'm thinking, if just me and my family, is that what we have faith for? Is that what we read the Word of God and find just for me and my family? Or is a God passionate for all nations, for all peoples, for every tribe, tongue, and nation? That's where his passion is. And if we could get just kind of reset the clock and reset our minds for 2020 to get refocused as all of this stuff, all of these sort of, I would call it minutia things, little things that are popping up and causing our attention to be distracted elsewhere when God is working among the nations. He's working amongst all peoples to this day. We can get so focused and caught up. And there are cares and concerns, and there are things happening around us, and people are maybe losing their jobs, and what's going to happen with the economy, and who's going to be elected, and is today a mask day or no mask day, right? We're not sure, but we just need to understand that God is moving among the nations.
Yes, he is.
And he's doing some incredible things that we cannot sometimes see when all of this stuff in front of us is happening. God's passion is for all nations. And of course, we read through the Gospels and see Jesus' passion, his sinless life, his miracles, his willingness to be crucified, which we just celebrate, and his bodily resurrection for us and the nations. While we are still yet sinners, Christ died for us. He did it for us. He did it for the nations, for the people. And just to give you, you know, maybe put some flesh on that. What does that mean? What does that look like? Well, for some of us in the States, there's great opportunities. Pastor Rhonda is, I know, leading a lot of wonderful initiatives with foster children, with Pastor Brad and Convoy of Hope, others. And I'm sure they have stories as well to share about people change lives when you get down and you get close to somebody. And you get to share the good news with them, and you get to give them a cup of cold water in Jesus' name and share with them. But there's also others that are very different than us. We just had a harvest party last night at our house, and my wife Allison's good friend from Iraq came, and refugees here in the Lansing area. She said to Allison, and this was heartbreaking, and this was a check just for us. She said, "Allison, I've been here for 11 years. This is my first American tradition thing that I've ever celebrated and have been invited to." That was like a mic drop. I don't want to do that, but I just, my heart stopped a bit. 11 years you've been in this country, and this is the first time. And we've only spent a few of those years with her and with her family. It's like, wow, I need to be more involved in the community and what God is doing. It was just a kind of a wake-up call. Like somebody took a cold bucket, threw it over my face of like, 11 years? And as one member of the body to another member, and maybe you're all doing this, we got to do more. We got to do better. Because on lockdown, travel restrictions, immigration policy, whatever it might be, we have people coming into our country. I was just in Minneapolis a couple weeks ago, went through the Mall of America. Somalis, tons of Somalis. We may never send, in the coming weeks or months or years, may never send anyone directly into Somalia based on their situation. But Somalia is here in our cities. We might not be planning our next vacation to Iraq, Baghdad. But we have people that God has brought to us. We've got to think. We've got to remember, despite what's happening, who's in front of us, who's around us, who's our neighbor. And we have to. It's the time to do so as the church, to rise up and to say, God, I'm here. I'm present. Despite what's happening around me, despite who's in the office today or tomorrow, in the White House, in the governor's house, I'm going to continue to serve. And I'm going to continue to giving my best to every tribe, tongue, and nation, whether it's someone that looks like me next door or somebody that doesn't look like me, or, you know what, my neighbors are saved. I'm going to go a little bit further out to my community. Hey, everyone in the city at Brighton comes to this awesome church that I'm a part of. I'm going to go a little bit farther and have a little bit further reach. And how could I get involved in refugee ministry? Or how can I get involved in Convoy of Hope? Whatever it might be, let's be involved. So how should we conclude today? Two things. One, if you aren't in a relationship with Jesus, if he isn't your Lord, if your life is not submitted to him, if you had never given a thought to his heart and passion in the nations, I implore you today to say yes to him. Whether online or in the service, say yes to Jesus. Christianity is not a Western religion. It's not a Western makeup. It's a very Middle Eastern origin sort of place. It's emerged. It's growing rapidly in Iran. In a country like Yemen, where there's war, famine, all of the missionaries that I have believed that I've heard have been kicked out of this nation. The church is growing. How does that happen? How does that happen? Because God is moving in the nations and he loves you. If you don't know him, maybe never heard this for the first time, that he loves you, that he cares about you, that he died on the cross and rose again, conquered death, hell, and the grave. I love that verse in scripture. It says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? It's non-existent for those that are in Christ. China. A lot of controversy around China. Churches growing. Churches multiplying. God's word cannot be snuffed out. God is powerful. And he's the God of the nations, and that many people are coming. Places in the Middle East that I'll leave unnamed because of sensitivities, but God is moving in those places that you'd least expect, that you least think. Are there any believers and Christians there? Yes, God is moving there, and people even from different religions, different socioeconomic statuses are coming to know him. So if you don't know him, come to know him as your Lord and Savior today. Say yes to him. Second, we as believers participate in God's redemptive plan for the nations by allowing our hearts to align with him. We can simply say today, part of our prayer, yes, Lord, you have a plan for the nations. It's that easy. Help me to be caught up in that. Help me to set aside the petty cares of this world. Help me not to fight with those around me because there's something larger and grander beyond me. When the Bible calls us to love our neighbor as ourselves, we aren't asking like the lawyer, who is my neighbor? And wondering about what presidential candidate sign is in their lawn. We simply say, everyone is my neighbor, whether I agree with their political preference, the person down the street, the people in the inner city, the people around the world. These are our neighbors that God has called us to love today. So as we conclude, we're just going to pray. We're going to pray for the lost. Pray for people to come to know Jesus if they don't. And then secondly, we're going to ask that God would reignite that simple passion that he has for the nations, for the lost, for the neighbors, for the most difficult people in our families, in our schools, wherever it might be, that we could just see beyond some of the issues, beyond some of the negativity, to say that person may be hurting beyond what I can see, maybe beyond what they are letting off. And I want to love them. God, give me a heart for them as you have the heart. I don't have the strength and the energy. This is the power of the Holy Spirit, because it's not by might and power and willpower, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And there are difficult people that you're going to need the Holy Spirit to love. You already got somebody on your mind. So let's pray. Father, today we pray and we lift up the lost, the hurting, the broken that might be listening today, that might be here. And maybe for the first time ever, they're hearing that, wow, there is a God in heaven who's personal, who's living and active, who's moving in the earth today, that people and tribes and tongues and nations are coming to know at this very hour, that loves me and I want to be in the relationship with him. I want to say yes to Jesus, to all that he is. And so we pray for them today, that they just simply say yes to you, that they would find a Bible today, they begin to read and begin to discover who you are in your fullness. Second, Lee, I pray for believers, myself included, that you'd give us the Holy Spirit. You'd give us the Holy Spirit beyond the we need the Holy Spirit to love our neighbors as ourselves. We admit that. And Father, we admit that maybe 2020 has shaken us up a bit. That maybe it's unfocused our attention on your word and who you are, and that we've gotten misaligned a little bit. Align and realign our hearts today with your heart for the passion for the nations, whether it's 2 miles down the street or 2 days across the ocean. Let us love abundantly if you have abundantly loved us and have loved us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.